This is East End, Inc. Tonight we present a special session of the East Hampton Poetry Workshop. Area poets meet Monday evenings at the East Hampton Library. This program was recorded in September 2017. We present excerpts from the reading. The complete recording can be heard at eastendinc.blogspot.com. Poet Pauline Yates began the program.
Robert Frost once said that, as a poet, he had a lover's quarrel with the world. And for me, that pointed to a deeper truth. A poet is in a lifelong great love affair with the world. We gasp at its beauty. We linger on its nuances. We dote on its quirks with the devotion that only an obsessive lover can muster. John F. Kennedy, in a speech he gave at Amherst, said that a poet is a champion of the individual mind and sensibility against an intrusive society and state. At this time of alienation, where they no longer give speeches like that, rapid change and accelerated technologies, it's no coincidence that we're seeing a huge renaissance in new forms of poetry through the influence of hip-hop and popular culture. In that same speech, Kennedy concluded, "When power leads man toward arrogance, poetry reminds him of his limitations. When power narrows man's concern, poetry reminds him of the diversity of existence. When power corrupts, poetry cleanses." These are truths that are useful for us today. Whatever its form, classical, lyric, contemporary, free verse, hip-hop, great love is one thing that all poetry shares. So the first poem I'm going to read is about one of my great loves, trees. It's called The Music of Trees. And it's inspired by a poem of T.S. Eliot, Four Quartets. It's a line in one of his poems. Eliot wrote of children's hidden laughter in the foliage. I've heard those sacred melodies soaring through cathedral forests. They put Notre Dame to shame in Paris, lyrical quartets that human ears can hardly bear. If you listen hard in summer, you can hear the peal of tiny nickel bells about the size of August raindrops. Jangling with fireflies, they spike warm skin on steamy nights, sly hints of ancient ecstasy. Cooling resonance of leaves in autumn sometimes lands like sidelong incantations, gold and copper splintered threads in ruffled breezes, whispers shimmering in late day sun. Swaying sentinels that breathe the world in unison. They dance in lissome shivers to a hushed cacophony. Secret slipstream shared in canopy. A song communicated to the sky. This next one is called Tree Burkas. And it was inspired by wintertime here when all the trees are wrapped in fabric, and they remind me of the women in the Far East when I used to travel there. Frigid meadow lane sparkles desolate in January, pale sun clutched in blue ice, wind relentless off the ocean, knifing up the esplanade. Trees wrapped row on row, clustered in balustrades, bundled bushes, swathed in burlap, hemmed in. Swirling strings and stitches expose not a glimpse of life, nor leaf, nor branch. Like gathered ghosts or covered women on their way to market, closeted in courtyards, walled away in shaded gardens, cloistered, as if their forms were clouds passing, insignificant, evacuated from the sky. The stilted trees stand shielded, green guarded from the sun, closed off from light, consoling breezes, as though their beauty in itself were an affront to man. Ordinary gift of their magnificence, a vacant memory. I'm happy to introduce now my friend, and Carolyn Bistrian is a wonderful poet, and Carolyn is going to come and read for you now.
Here's a poem from Hawaii, where my husband, my late husband, used to love to go. Under the fringed palm, deep in its haloed shadow, I watch a careful chameleon lift one slow, fanciful foot at a time in its progress from green to jeweled green. Its hooded eyes blink in the casual heat of noon. I do not move, wish to join with it somehow, become invisible, but cannot master the trick of blending in with anything. A quiet day. A wide-brimmed straw hat with silk flowers and small jeweled birds sits on a misshapen tree stump by the door, which stands open. A gentle dog with a fierce underbite lies on an ancient deck overhung by a tangled mass of wisteria just outside, while black tea brews in a glass jar on the counter. A cranky ceiling fan complains softly overhead in the empty kitchen, though the wind chime suspended from it is silent. In fact, the whole house is silent. Even the TV has been left on mute, playing and replaying an old family video, a closed loop. Out in the sun-splattered, fenced-in garden, the other dogs sit patiently by the pool throughout the afternoon. One, the youngest, chews a stick. The woman, who has dressed in her best beaded blouse, gold rings, long paisley skirt, floats in the very blue pool, face down. And the last poem is Pillow. My first mistake was to buy a pillow inhabited by a large peach-colored bird whose dearest wish was to be somewhere else, because I can't find it anywhere since the party, or wake, some people say. And I've looked really everywhere, except obviously where it is. The trees in which the peachy bird had lived were a saturation of greens, which changed from pale spring to dark winter, and even they all angled off the edge to nowhere in particular. There was no second mistake. Dan Hayes was previously in the prose business, writing for news outlets in New York, New Jersey, and Washington, D.C. Now he writes poetry for discriminating listeners.
Adulation. Should I call you a goddess? Am I a centaur or minotaur at your touch? What spell or exhalation boils my machismo? Why should it matter? I will kiss you 100 times, caress you 1,000, embrace you in loneliness, in happiness, in completeness. Let us worship one another. The killing. In the mop sink, the cricket stood fast. I looked at him, a moment passed. He is a bug, I thought, before I crushed him out. But then, too late, a part of me had doubt. What right had I to kill that thing? Act like a cruel, despotic king. Large as I was, I let my sissy side fearfully perform insecticide. And so a tiny geometric part of nature gone, leaving the world without that cricket song. Our next poet is Walter Donway.
My Facebook wall. Do they still call it the wall, or do they call it the homepage now? They used to call it the wall. Too frivolous, this text you write, and lipstick chalk upon my wall, scavenger scraps litter of night, offending daybreak, when your scrawl, like brazen endearments, sincere at midnight, pray to be erased. Notations of affection here, beside my gate, a wall defaced by wavering phrases of love. Below, tributes to our good times, your scribbled lines of praise above, some mirthless birthday wish in rhyme. At dawn, my captors greet today with teetering chair, brush, and pail to scrub the stubborn words away along your careless, carefree trail. I pace and ponder if my eye may hope by some new dawn to trace a rage of scratches that decry my soul's immurement in this place. The New Hampshire Way. Four gloves I laid out there, no two of them a pair, and all of them left hand. But you can understand that when life calls for two, you do what you must do. Stretch this or that a bit until you have a fit secure against the cold or even growing old, and make the best of it. Invitation to a dog. You liked to dive at brambles, and when the job was done, you'd sport a badge of burrs. Your nature was to run. You'd fire sandy bullets and dashes through the foam and never catch a fish. Your nature was to roam. Wherever did you go those moon-mad nights in May, you'd scratch my door at dawn and sleep the day away. Then late when yellow fall, it seemed you'd gone for good. But first frost saw you home, your muzzle flecked with blood. So come and lie a while, there's gray about your eyes. You think I never notice your struggle when you rise? You're welcome on the porch beside my rocking chair. You'll find the goodly sun is kind to stiff hips there. You think I never ran or dived into a fight, or loosed a lusty howl, or stalked the restless night? I don't have anyone to say good dog to me, explain the day has come and what must be must be. I say you've earned your place, damn all how it seems. The moon is bright on roads we're roaming in our dreams. Frog drums. Low drum, deep drum, so warm the pond, night comes throbbing. Winter's gone, mayflies swarm, spring's first song is sobbing. Thick living stew and slick, fertile odors clinging. Lust makes the cold heart tick, cracks the mouth for singing. Come on the May moon streak, thighs itch, twitch with yearning. Divide the pollen crust, seek one who yearns with spring's returning. Lust waits coiled at silent lies. Moon-crossed eyes are blinking. The surface bursts. He flies, he hits, she flips, sinking.
This is East End, Inc. on WPKN Radio. We're listening to a special session of the East Hampton Poetry Workshop, recorded at the East Hampton Library in September 2017. We continue with poet Carol Sherman.
In Lavender. Seas of lavender roll across Provence. Mauve, amethyst, magenta, a wave of purple burnishing the green and amber earth with lilac, violet, heliotrope. Seas of lavender roll across Provence, a pungent tide, biting into memory, astringent assault, summoning attics, anticassimers, tangles of spider webs in garret corners, snaring the unwary to gaze back. I swim in lavender, bathed in fragrance, drowning in high waters, purple memories, flood tide. The sleep of oblivion. Old as this wind, I am a field of poppies, scarlet banners riding against topaz sky. My roots search deep to quench the thirst of eons. I cut a scarlet swath across Asia.
Old as this wind that scours mountains, gorges, I cover the landscape with crimson somnolence, flowers burgeoning, stretching the scope of the Himalayas, the Ganges, the Po, my roots driving deep to the River Leith, my beauty hypnotic, my power annihilating. And now a mother poem. Every poet has written a poem for mother, right? Lilac and gardenia made her eyes shine, and she blushed, rosy as a girl first kissed. Pin a gardenia with a silver ribbon on her bosom, and she glittered. She became young, old. She's old now, shrinks smaller every day, lies on white sheets, smelling of flower-sweet talcum, and keeps dying. The magic of gardenia gone. And now I have the privilege of introducing my friend Carol Stone.
In Green River Cemetery, I'm looking for Frank O'Hara. I see him strolling Manhattan before taking the train to East Hampton, getting his shoes shine, buying that bottle of Strega, the carton of Gauloises, and a New York Post with Lady Day's photo the day she died. It's July 7th, 2016. I remember last July's visit to Traverse City Bookie Joint, where I found his lunch poems. The name brought back Uncle Sid in the attic of 529 Clinton Place, taking bets on the black phone that smelled of his cigar breath. Once the police came and I hid under my bed, his sergeant friend paid the other cops off. I wish I were in the San Remo, drinking Strega with Frank and Kenneth and Joe. I know he's here somewhere among the headstones of artists, poets, or he's in Elysium having a Coke with Billy. Sunday afternoon. No governor will grant an 11th hour reprieve. No lawyer will take the case pro bono. I'm one of the lucky. Friends have gone, time up. Not always a chance to say goodbye. So many years since they died. Was it Barry's drinking? Bob's weak heart? Sharon's drugs? I think of the wars they've missed. Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, the presidents. I'm in my house on the East End, enjoying summer sweet corn. I make room for joy, stay close to the living. It's hard. I wonder if, when it's my turn, I'll shake with terror, never again to be moved by the sun's light in air and sky, never again to see the soul immersing ocean, the gulls moving through space. Ode to Corn. All winter I've passed your empty fields, waited for you as I've waited for love. Now, under green husks, your insides shine like gold the conquistadors stole. Like flowers at dawn, you cast your scent. You watch over the poor, their patron saint against hunger. Mexican women grind your kernels between stones, make you into tortillas to heal the wounds of conquest. I shuck your ears, grill you until burnt around the edges, sometimes plunge you into water, boil you until your teeth are tender. Fruit of my childhood and old age, you who are nostalgic as Proust's Madeleines, like us, not here forever, who brings back Freehold New Jersey's farms, summer days by escape from darkness, grief, loneliness, I butter you, salt you, and bite you. Dee Slagutin is our next reader.
Let it still be August. Slow the spinning planet, so humid nights can hold the stars. The moon still looks for lovers asleep in grass-strewn dunes. Tides now mark the time the leaves have left to cling. The worm is warm in soil, Mobius to be touched. Coy infinity wakens me, contradicts this boundary. The wrinkled light has yet to die. The sun still owns the day. If it cannot be undone, if the sphere must turn, I'll not sleep from now to know this August as my own. Summer's glove. When August met September, the moon rose with the sun. Bathed in radiant cleavage, twin cupids coerced time. When August met September, turtles courted roses. With melodies so ripe, the petals fanned their blush. When August met September, Romeo and Juliet survived. Love denied death slumber, only life could wear this glove. When August met September, queens dined with the moths on doily leaves of lace woven for their cloth. When August met September, we all wore summer's glove. For a tambourine of time, we were summer's love. Rosalind Brenner.
The first one is called Transformation. To protect your rest of mind, you'll seek remedy from grandma's arcane recipes. Mind power from black rocks on your windowsill. Stir sweet salal into tart purple Oregon grape just off the vine. Chew the brew with ash of pre-lit matches. Sprinkle bitter berry powder in your wallet for a way to find acceptance of what is. You will repeat like mantra, this is not about me. You'll acknowledge she has vanished. Your little girl will become a man. You'll save her baby pictures in a drawer. You'll love this man wholly, transformed and yet the same throughout your life. You'll lie awake, damn face illuminated, two candles at your bedside, the first to light the way like gorse for courage, the second wrapped in leaves that shield and flame away the deleterious effects of stuck beliefs embalming your perception. You will string a necklace of dried burdock for hope, for her, for him, for you. A leaf of lemon verbena under your pillow will absorb your selfishness. Finally, you'll sleep. In morning, you'll walk a solemn smudge sage stick around your room. You'll hum the incantation Grandma taught you. You know, of course, practicality refuses magic, relies for answers on stony logic. Under the belly, sing the morning's amethyst sky. Be here, the moment pearl droplets, pebble Montauk daisies, green life, lambent sun, salt air. Ants trek the peony, blossoms thirst for light. Plant cactus, careless of spines, to find your skin, uncover the raw beneath the flesh of you. Find what makes you in a waking beach. You are reflection in the dark walker's glasses, those shells and stones, their sound like castanets against the shore. That weed, a plank lifting from the boardwalk, the intaglio of your footprint in the sand, the cup of rooibos tea you sip. A gull drops his oyster, squawks as he dives, beak pulls hungry at its meat. Breath sleeps in you until you watch it. Slip on your running shoes, take the shoreline, jump naked into the freezing bay.
A bonus, a Dick Flynn.
It's called clearing. When I was a boy, I lived in deep country, but even so, I was taught nothing of the theology of Arcadian or Sicilian shepherds. My parents were then as ignorant as I, and if Miss Wagner in social studies were better informed, she kept it to herself or shared it privately with Mr. Bovetto, whose access to her inaccurately imagined intimacies was an article of our schoolboy creed. In those days, boys knew not whose woods those were, or fields, or cared, nor did the owners care. Boys did no harm to trees, stone walls, or hay, or not enough to matter anyway. Freemen of the woods were we, of raftable swamps and sunfish trickles, blueberry patches and bullfrog ponds. Still, there was a clearing, an open space in the birch and maple woods that I would never cross, not in broad sun, not in moonlight, not step into, not ever. I knew panic would run me torn and blind were I to trespass on that sacred ground. Later, in Theocritus, a shepherd warns his song companion away from sheltering at midday in the black shade of the solitary pasture oak, Pan's place, the god's place.
This is East End, Inc. We heard excerpts of a special session of the East Hampton Poetry Workshop, recorded at the East Hampton Library in September 2017. The complete reading is available at eastendinc.blogspot.com. The readers were Pauline Yates, Carolyn Bistrian, Dan Hayes, Walter Donway, Carol Sherman, Carol Stone, Dee Slavutin, Rosalind Brenner, and Dick Flynn. The East Hampton Poetry Workshop meets at the East Hampton Library, 159 Main Street, Mondays at 5:30 p.m. Poets come together to share, discuss, and critique their work. Here are some upcoming free literary events produced by Canio's Cultural Cafe at 290 Main Street, Sag Harbor, all at 5 p.m. on Saturdays. On June the 2nd, Sag Harbor author Glynn Hiller presents her memoir, Passport to Paris. On June the 9th, acclaimed poet Charles Fishman reads from In the Wake of the Glacier, new and selected poems. On June the 16th, New Yorker editor Mary Norris and food writer Emily Nunn discuss commas, cooking, and family. On June the 23rd, poet Paul Genega reads from his new collection, Sculling on the Leaf. And poet Julie Sheehan, author of Bar Book and Orient Point, reads her work. More events are listed at canyosbooks.com. East End Inc. programs are archived at eastendinc.blogspot.com. Today's program was produced by Tony Ernst. This is Hazel Khan.